This audio file is created by Panopreneur. You can get it at www.panopreneur.com. 22 Pentecost Thursday, variable C. To be used only if there is a 23 Pentecost Sunday, otherwise skip to 27 Pentecost. First posted October 28, 2010, Luke 18:9-14. True righteousness. Paraphrase, Jesus told a parable about people who rely on their own good works to feel righteous and have contempt for others. A Pharisee, a religious leader of Judaism, the most legalistic sect of Judaism, and a tax collector, a category, a despised Israelite collaborator with the Roman occupying government, both went into the temple to pray. The Pharisee prayed with himself. Luke 18:11a, congratulating himself for being more righteous than other men. He felt superior to sinners who committed extortion, injustice, adulterers, or collaborated with the Roman government, such as the tax collector, who he recognized, praying in the temple at the same time. The Pharisee felt himself righteous, acceptable to God, because of his observance of the rituals of Judaism based on the law of Moses, such as tithing, giving 10% of all he received as an offering to the Lord, and fasting. The tax collector felt unworthy to approach God's altar to pray, and he felt unworthy to turn his face toward heaven. Instead, he beat his breast, sign of contrition, bruising, humble and thoroughly penitent, confessed his sinfulness, and asked the Lord for mercy. The self-acknowledged sinners, tax collectors, prayers were heard and answered. The tax collector received mercy and forgiveness. The righteous Pharisee's prayers were not heard or answered, except by himself. He was deceiving himself. See conditions for answered prayer. Sidebar, top right, home. Jesus declared that the tax collector went home justified, acceptable by God, made right with God, but not the Pharisee. Jesus said, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Luke 18:14b. Commentary, we are all sinners, have disobeyed God's word in the Bible and in the example of Jesus Christ, the living word, fulfilled, embodied, and exemplified in human flesh in this world, Romans 3:23, 1 John 1:8-9, and Jesus, designed into creation from the very beginning, John 1:1-5:14, is God's only provision for our forgiveness and salvation, Romans 5:8, Acts 4:12. We are saved from eternal condemnation and destruction by faith, obedient trust in Jesus, not by doing good deeds or boasting to God, Ephesians 2:8-9. There were two altars in the temple, the altar of burnt offering, the brazen altar, outdoors in the temple courtyard, and the altar of incense in the holy sanctuary in front of the Holy of Holies, in front of the veil, veil-sick. Fire from the brazen altar was placed on the altar of incense and sweet spices were burned continually upon it. Morning and evening services commenced with the high priest offering incense on this altar. This was a type of prayer, and the smoke of the incense symbolized prayers pleasing to God ascending to heaven. There are two heresies prevalent in the nominal church today. One is works righteousness, legalism, keeping the old covenant law of Moses, and the other is cheap grace, a term first created in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Collier Books, Macmillan Publishing Company, NY 1963, ISBN 0020838506. Cheap grace refers to the heresy of eternal salvation by the grace, the unmerited favor, a free gift of God, which is true, without the requirement of discipleship and obedient trust in Jesus, false. Both these heresies were present in the first century church and are refuted in the New Testament, see false teachings, sidebar, top right, home. The Lord knows everything about us. We cannot conceal our sins from Him. In order to receive mercy, undeserved forgiveness, compassionate treatment, forbearance from inflicting deserved punishment from God, we must first acknowledge our sinfulness, repent, meaning sorrow for our sins, and the desire and intention to forsake them, and ask for forgiveness and spiritual cleansing by the name, the person, character and blood sacrifice on the cross of Jesus Christ. The Pharisee kept the letter of the law in small details, Matthew 23:23, but didn't keep the spirit, the intent of the law, for example, to love others as much as we love ourselves, Matthew 22:36-40. We are under not the old covenant of works of the law of Moses, but the new covenant of grace, provided that we have been spiritually born again, John 3:3-5-8, by the baptism of the indwelling Holy Spirit, which only Jesus gives, John 1:31-34, only to his disciples who trust and obey Jesus, John 14:15-17. We are freed from the obligations of the law of Moses, provided that we are obedient to the indwelling Holy Spirit. If so, we will fulfill the law by the help of the Holy Spirit, whereas by our own efforts that would be impossible, Romans 8:1-10. People can pray without meeting the conditions for answered prayer, but their prayers won't be heard or answered by God. Others may be impressed with their righteousness or spirituality, but God isn't, Matthew 6:5-8. Some pray and then go ahead and do what they intended anyway, thinking that they had God's approval, without waiting for God's answer. One must have the baptism of the indwelling Holy Spirit to guide him or her, in order to receive guidance and confirmation of prayer. For example, I sought a Bible study for my personal devotions, daily home altar, and God led me to the first daily walk to your study. I saw the potential and asked the Lord for approval to publish it online. The Lord approved and helped me understand the texts, write, find a blog, host, and begin publication. Sometimes we must wait for an answer, for days, or longer. When we get an answer, we should pray it back to make sure that we've understood correctly. Most of the time I've had answer and confirmation by the touch of the Holy Spirit within me. Sometimes it is like the Lord underlines something in the text or commentary of my daily devotions. Sometimes I've heard the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit within me, 1 Kings 19:11-13. At least twice I've heard God's voice as thunder, which perhaps I alone would have understood clearly, and did so, John 12:28-29. The baptism of the indwelling Holy Spirit is a personally discernible, daily, ongoing experience. If one isn't sure, one hasn't been born again. One must be spiritually born again to eternal life, now, in this world, in order to see the kingdom of God all around us now, and to see and enter it after our physical death, or at Jesus' second coming while we are still physically alive, Matthew 25:31-46, John 5:28-29. Compare John 11:41-44. Is Jesus your Lord? Are you Jesus' disciple? Are you trusting and obeying Jesus? Have you received the baptism of the indwelling Holy Spirit since you first truly believed, Acts 19:2? Are you making disciples of Jesus Christ and teaching them to obey all that Jesus commands, Matthew 28:18-20? Do you know with certainty where you will spend eternity, 1 John 5:11-13, Ephesians 1:13-14?